Good evening, everybody. I can barely see you, so I'm just kind of staring out there. I'm not looking at anyone in particular, so it's just really dark. And it's very bright. Tonight, I just wanted to read from Luke. There's some announcements and stuff. We'll deal with those later. But tonight, I wanted to read from Luke. And Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 14. If you have your Bibles, follow along. If not, it'll be on the screen. But Luke 2, verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told by them, told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." The shepherds went away, glorifying and praising God. And tonight, as we pray here in just a moment, I just ask that we would have a heart of praise and thanksgiving for what the Lord has done, that we would be like the shepherds and our response to what God has done in sending his son for us. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would not let us lose the awe and wonder about the incarnation, that we would not treat it as a common thing, but Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, you came as a baby, subjected yourself to a womb. And Lord, we just struggle to understand that. Lord, we pray tonight that as we ponder these things, as we think about these things, that praise would fill our heart, wonder would fill our heart, and that we would not grow hard-hearted and cynical as we grow older, but Lord, we would just keep that wonder, that it is wonderful news to all people, that the Christ is for all men, mankind, and for all time. And so, Lord, we ask that you would guide our study tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I just have three quick ideas that I wanted to share with you about this wonderful time of year. There's a lot of things that we could open up and get into. But there was three ideas that kind of stuck out to me as I was praying about what we would cover here in this service. And I want to share those three quick ideas with you. Number one, Jesus came at the right time. There's actually a Christmas verse in Galatians, believe it or not. And I'm going to turn there now. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, it says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. When the fullness of time, God from the beginning knew what his plan of salvation was going to be. He knew how he was going to accomplish the redemption of the world. It wasn't a surprise. Nothing caught God off guard. Oh no, there's a fall of man. What am I going to do now? God had a plan for salvation from the beginning. We're told that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And what I want you to take away from this first point is Jesus Christ came at just the right time in history. Just the right time. It says that when the fullness of time had come, God had a plan that just at the right time, Jesus Christ would be born on this planet. Think about this. The Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. So there's a census taking place. All of these things had to work together. The lineage of David had to be provable. The Messiah had to come from the lineage of David. I don't know if you know this or not, but in AD 70, the temple in Jerusalem were destroyed, and much of the Jewish population were dispersed. If you ask a Jewish person today, hey, what tribe are you from? They can't tell you their lineage. And because they can't tell you their lineage, anyone professing to be the Messiah today cannot tell you, cannot prove to you they are of the lineage of David. If you read in Matthew and you read in Mark, you can see that there is a lineage. There's a lineage of Christ. And so Jesus came at just the right time. You think about the Roman roads, where the Roman Empire had unified much of the known world, and they created roads, and then the gospel goes out through these roads, that God ordained at just the right time Jesus would come into this world. He wasn't a day late. He wasn't a day early. He was born at just the right time. And even Daniel chapter 7, we read this later on, where the Messiah enters in at just the right day that Daniel predicted. So Jesus was born at just the right time. Point number two, he's coming back at just the right time. We see the world getting darker and we get so worried about what's going on around us. God isn't late. God isn't unaware of what's going on. He's going to accomplish just what he intends to accomplish in this era. In this span of time, God is accomplishing something. We aren't privy to everything that God wants to do, but I'll tell you this, I know God has a purpose and a plan. And God is going to send Jesus back not one day late. He's going to come for his church not one day late. And I wanted to share this with you. Jesus told us to be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. Are we of good cheer? He told us when the nations are going crazy, when the world's perplexing, look up, for your redemption draws near. He told us not to be ignorant of the rapture and his second coming in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, you need to know about these things. Don't be ignorant like the rest of the world is. So are we looking up? Are we full of joy? Are we studying and looking forward to his coming? Because he's not going to come one day late. We get so worried about what the world, oh my gosh, everything's going to HE double hockey sticks in a handbasket, right? It's all going downhill. But the Lord knows. He's going to take care of it. Tonight, as we celebrate his first coming and the birth of our Savior, those things that happened 2,000 years ago, those things are just as sure as his second coming is. We can trust in the reliability of Scripture. We can trust in the hope that will appear. And thirdly, last point, now is the right time. Now is the right time to live for him. It was exactly the right time when he was born. It'll be exactly the right time when he comes. It's exactly the right time to live for him today. This is the time. Have you ever thought about why you were born in this era of time, in this place, in this country? Why weren't you born 100 years ago? You know, Scripture tells us that God formed all of us in our mother's wombs, that he knew us and he numbered our days before we ever saw the light of day. He knew. So why were you and I meant for today? Is it just a coincidence? Is it just, I don't know. We say in our men's group a lot, that's weird. When something happens, when God answers prayer and we're testifying about God who answered the prayer, like, oh, yeah, that person you were praying for, you ran into them at Walmart. That's weird. And we do it sarcastically because it's not weird. It's actually God ordained. God does those kinds of things. He answers prayer. And I would say to you and submit to you, it's not weird that you're born during these times. God must think. And I was thinking about this. I was like, God must think that we're able to handle these times if he purposed for us to be born in these times. God must have a plan for us to be used in these times if we were born in these times. And so are we living for him right now? Now is the right time to live for him. My hope, as I was writing this, my hope is that we begin to live with boldness and joy because we have been born in this time and place. And that we would even say, like Mordecai said to Esther, could it be that you've been born for such a time as this? Could it be that you were put on this planet for exactly these times of turmoil, these times of uncertainty, these times of godlessness? And returning to these pagan ways, has God put you on this planet to stand for righteousness right now? I would submit to you, probably. So it's up to us to stand. 2 Corinthians, and maybe I skipped a verse here. I'll read this. Hebrews 12:1 says this, and this is the NLT version. Simplified here, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keeping our eyes up because our redemption is drawing close. That second coming at just the right time. And I'll finish with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says this about standing for the Lord, that this is the right time to do it. So he came at the right time. He'll come back at the right time. And now is the right time. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Tonight and into tomorrow, as we celebrate the coming of Jesus into this world, I would ask that you focus on three things. So we have 3 points. I'm going to ask you to focus on 3 things with your family. Number one, what God has done in sending his son to dwell among us, Emmanuel. Don't lose your awe and your wonder. Dwell on that. Think about it. Think about how amazing the God of the universe, who could speak galaxies into existence, came as a baby. That's hard to grasp. Number two, what God is presently doing. I'd like you to think about, what is God doing right now through his Spirit in your life? And number three, what God will do. I want you to think about what God will do in this coming year. What has God called you to do? What has he done in your life? What will he do in your life? And I think we as Christians in this season, we get so wrapped up in all of the other stuff. It's so wonderful to just get back to the basics of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, and we dwell on that. And you go, Lord, what have you done in my life? Oh, you've been so good to me. What do you want to do with my life? Lord, I know it's for a purpose. I know I was born for such a time as this. And I would ask that you guys, with your families, dwell on those things. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for coming to be among us. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with us. We have a God who lived among us and was in all ways tempted yet without sin. You know our struggles. You know what it's like to lose a friend to death. Lord, you are so caring and loving. And so, Lord, tonight, as we worship you, as we sing about you, fill our hearts with joy again. Fill our hearts with thanksgiving again. And even embolden us to stand for righteousness in these days. This world needs to know about you, that you came and you died and you rose again. We just pray you would be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.